Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. Well, in this program, we answer the questions that you have related to the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad. May peace be upon him and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who's a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Professor, you have been helping us to show us the ways or talk about the ways which are effective in taking advice, like what are the ways that we should be applying as parents or working on so that our children accept the advices from us rather than feeling that we feel more prestigious about ourselves, and that's all our concern is. And especially, you said the problem is when parents go about advising in public. You said we have a proper way of advising in Islam. So could you please give us a summary of that again?
Yes, so as I was saying, that number one, the dignity and the reputation of a human being is very important, of a believing, faithful human being especially. It is very important that he is not felt, he does not feel let down, and he does not feel that he is being talked of in a belittling way.
Yeah.
He's not being talked of in a way that he is diminishing his dignity and reputation. He doesn't feel awkward. That is important. That's why it has been the Imams, Mawla Ali, for example, has advised us to carry out our biddings in privacy. So a person is not does not feel bad about being reprimanded in front of others. But having said that, sometimes it becomes necessary to reprimand a person in public.
In public.
Because if we do it in private, we've done it in private, and he's not accepting to change himself. He's not ready to change himself.
You're forced to do that in public?
So you need to go to a higher level, which can, you know, make him desist from doing that. So if it requires that way of behavior, this treatment is meted out to him, and he then, by virtue of the fact that he feels bad about it, but as a result, he will start thinking of changing himself.
Yeah.
Then one can go to that level also.
All right.
But the principle is that we should do everything to maintain his dignity and reputation. And we want to maintain that. If we want him, for example, we want a believing Muslim to behave properly, to refrain from carrying out things which are prohibited, which are not allowed, and carrying out those things which are necessary in Islam and obligatory in Islam, and he's not doing them, and he's not taking care of them, and by doing that, he is losing his reputation. He is harming his reputation. He is putting to jeopardy his reputation. So if we make him stop doing that, and pay heed and pay attention and take this warning which we may have given in public also. And he stops doing those wrong things. As a result, we are thereby helping him in enhancing his reputation and his image.
Okay,
so there's a conflict between the, you need to balance between things.
All right.
Is it the reputation which he is going to lose because of my telling him off in public? Or is the reputation he is going to lose by virtue of not carrying out things which are necessary, or carrying out things, not carrying things which are obligatory, and not carrying out those things which are prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
Thereby, he is also losing his reputation. He is putting, losing that image that should be there of a behaving, of a practicing Muslim. So we are, in a way, trying to enhance that by telling him off to desist from doing that.
Right. Professor, we'll discuss more with you after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Salman Naqvi, and we were discussing about how to advise a child, where to advise a child, in public, in person, or how. And sometimes when parents advise their children, it does not always go good with their children. So they have issues. They have issues in understanding why parents are advising, but Professor is helping us. Well, Professor, there's one more question from this boy. His name is Gomel Yusuf, and he is some 21 years old. And he's saying that he has completed his college almost, and now for his another degree, whatever the subjects he has been taking or wants to take, he's always forced by his parents to take the subject rather than going for the subjects of his own choice. What is your advice for such parents?
So, number one, why do the parents want to impose their way of thinking on their child, on their person, on not the child? He's gone through college, then he's now a young adult. And so why are we trying to impose something upon him? Because we think it is something better for him, or it is better for us. It's prestigious for us to be known that, oh, my child, my son or my daughter is becoming a doctor, or is becoming an engineer. If that is the reasoning behind this imposition, then that is, of course, not acceptable. But if it is based on something based upon principles, based upon ideology, it is based upon, for example, our correct understanding of religion, that Islam wants us to, ourselves, our children, our society to be independent and not dependent upon foreign powers to progress. We need experts in all fields of society. We can't just have a great deal of doctors and engineers, and we don't have good managers, we don't have good social scientists. Actually, society is not run by engineers and doctors. Society is run by good managers, social scientists. Those people who control and manage society are not necessarily paid much, but they are not. They're much more important. Scientists and technologists and doctors, they work for a living. Yes, they do a great deal of service to mankind. But what is important is society as a whole. So our children are number one. Our parents should understand that their children should become effective and influential members of society. They carry out services to society which the society needs, especially for its independent status.
Yeah.
And the most important thing is the competencies of the child himself and his aptitude. What field of studies he can excel in, what he wants to do, that is very important. You may force him to go into a field of study which he does not like.
Professor, we'll discuss more with you after a short break. Tell us there. Stay tuned.
The Prophet wasallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have Professor Salman Nakam with us, and Professor is saying some advices to the parents who impose their choices on children when they want to take up subjects as they move ahead in career. Yes, Professor.
So our parents should really look out for proper career counseling and guidance. They should consult with those experts who can guide their children properly. On the one hand, they should be concerned with what is required in society, what fields of activities or what professions are required in society. And we have, for example, we are deficient in them, and we need them for a strong, independent society. And on the other hand, we need to discuss with consultants who can understand what competencies and what an aptitude my child has. In what can he excel? There are children, there are students who cannot, for example, if you put them in things which require subjects such as mathematics,
yeah,
philosophy,
yeah,
they can't excel in that because their
interest is somewhere
else.
It's
not there, or even their mathematical intelligence is not so strong.
Yeah.
They can't do abstract thinking. They're not capable of carrying out pure reasoning.
Yeah.
So you can't put them in a subject which is not of their competency. For example, a person is great with his physical skills. He can be a very very good technician. He can be a good maybe technician or an artist or a musician if that is allowed, for example. And so it depends upon as we know about the multiple intelligences of that is the theory presented by Gardner.
Yeah.
So we have different types of intelligences, and every one of them is different for different fields of study. So we need to carry out a complete personality analysis of our children to understand in what field he can excel. So some people are good in spatial things. Some are good in mathematical skills. Some are good in physical things. Some are good in technical skills. So it all depends upon the personality which has developed.
Yeah.
So parents should be careful of this, that they should not force their children to do something which the children do not have, number one, the competence for it, number two, they don't have the attitude for it.
Right. So what is important
apart from the aptitude.
True, true. So what is important here is that parents should understand that what kind of field their children are interested in, they should explore in that field, and they should help them rather exploring in the field they want themselves, the children want themselves rather than parents. Thank you so much, Professor, for those beautiful advices. Thank you so much. I hope this helps all the parents and children. And we as parents should not be imposing our own choices on children. Rather, we should be exploring what kind of talent they have. Thank you so much for hearing. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? says, it says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.